1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now together please. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a shame that we in America have to celebrate just one day, because it really needs to be 365 days a year of thanking you for what you've given us, what you've done for us. So, Father, we come this morning and we ask that you would touch our hearts, help us to hear what the preacher will have to say about Thanksgiving, help us to apply those truths in our lives. Help us to be better Christians because we're here today. And then, Father, if there's one in this room or two or three, no matter how many there are, that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today they would decide to do that before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. And as you're seated this morning, let me ask you to please make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. Now, if your phone goes off in the service, one of these panels will slide open over your head and someone is going to drop a frozen turkey right on top of you. And so, it's a good way to get a free turkey, but you probably won't enjoy eating it. So help us, would you please? I'm going to ask now that you sit and listen very carefully for these few minutes. We're talking about life's issues and the Bible's answers. We're approaching the week of Thanksgiving. You see, no, that's a day, not in my house, approaching a week of Thanksgiving. In 1789, George Washington, right after the Revolutionary War had been won, America had formed its nation, Constitution had come together. Right after that, he put out a proclamation that America needed to thank God. And it was very specific. I read it again this week. It was very specific. Look at me. It wasn't one of those politically correct, generic, thank whoever might be out there about whatever might have happened things. It was very specific. Our president, the first president, said, we need to thank God for blessing us as a nation, for bringing us through this great conflict, for the formation of our Constitution, for the creation of this nation. We need to thank God for that. Abraham Lincoln, when he was president, when the Civil War came to its conclusion, made Thanksgiving a national day in America, for us to thank God for blessing us as a nation. In those days, it was just bringing us through the conflict of the Civil War and preserving the Union, etc., and going forward from there. But it became a national day of Thanksgiving. But it was a day of giving thanks to God. They weren't concerned about offending Muslims, and they weren't concerned about offending Hindus, and they weren't concerned about being politically correct. They wanted to thank the God of heaven who had blessed this nation. And you do that, please, would you? Thanksgiving Day is a day to celebrate that. Now, in our church, we have a tradition here. Right before the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we do what we call the Thanksgiving dinner description. It helps people to get their juices flowing for Thanksgiving. It's silly. It's irreverent. And if you don't like that in church, just don't listen for a few minutes. But some of us look forward to this week. Some of us have been in training for it for months. For some of us, it's been a lifetime prospect, as a matter of fact. And can you smell the roast turkey? You know, 4th of July passed and they started putting out the Christmas decorations. But for me, the season doesn't start until you walk down the aisle in the grocery store and you see them dead, naked, wet birds wrapped in plastic piling up in the freezer section. Or maybe you've got an organic one. You've been growing one in your backyard, and he doesn't stand a chance for the next couple of days. I don't know how it works, but there's just something about the aroma of roast turkey. How you wake up on that morning, and it's just, you know, you get up at the crack of dawn, and you get that bird ready to go, and you, whoever thought of taking wet bread and stick it in a bird? I have no idea, but somebody came up with a brilliant idea. And you get that bird ready, and you pop him in the oven, and then right next to him, you put a great big ham. And you crisscross that ham with the cutting like that, and you take those pineapple slices and you put it on there with a little maraschino cherry in there, and then you dot the little cloves around that crisscross on the top of that ham, kind of looked like Iraqi insurgents caught out in the desert by a Black Hawk helicopter, and then kind of nukes them, you know, and you stick them on there like that. Now Afghanistan, but you put both of those in there, and then it starts cooking. About the time you get out of bed in the morning, the aroma of roast turkey and ham start to fill the house up, and then you realize why God gave you two nostrils, one side for turkey and one side for ham. And then you got to walk. And then, what is the deal with the turkey, the dinner not being until 3 o'clock in the afternoon? You don't eat any meal at 3 o'clock except Thanksgiving Day. I say we eat it at 10 in the morning. That way we can get in a couple more meals before the day's over. What do you got to wait till 3 o'clock for? And you sit around with those little trays with vegetables in them, you know, and you put the olives on the end of each finger and you watch a football. And you're having the snack trays, cheese and salami and vegetables and all the stuff that goes with it. And that just sort of gets the juices flowing to get you ready for the meal. While you're there, the ladies are in the kitchen and they're cooking and stuff. And the guys get in on it too, of course. I believe in carving the turkey. It's a man's job. Now, the reason for that is so you get to eat first. Because while you're cutting, you go, oh, that piece is bad. Better eat that. And it's perfect. It's not because men know how to carve a turkey. It's because we want to eat fresh, hot roast turkey right off the bird. And while they're in there, they're cooking up the mashed potatoes and they're making those sweet potato things with the marshmallows on top of it. Or maybe they put apple slices in there and pecans and they bake it in that little liquid juice that flops around in it. They got all those Jell-O salad things shaped like different containers that are in the refrigerator. They got the potatoes going. Now, sometimes they use those brown and serve nasty cheap rolls that you buy at this grocery store. They'll pull apart jobs. Somehow they're transformed into something delicious at Thanksgiving. Or maybe she makes good homemade yeast rolls. Those puffy jobs with the little golden brown buttery thing. Let's keep it in English, brother. And get golden brown stuff on top of it like that. Ooh, those are so good. You get them on the plate. When they're hot, you just slice them open, stick like a half a stick of butter in there. Butter. I said butter. I didn't say margarine. You don't want Brummel and Brown. I said butter. You're going to stick butter in that thing so it starts to melt and fill up the saucer and get it ready to go. And they're getting the, and then the stuffing and the bird is cooking and the ham is getting ready and the Jell-O salad's out there. Then if you make your own cranberry sauce, it's up to you. I like the kind shaped like a can. I like that one. You take that and you put it on a thing and you cut it into slices and you get it out on the table. And then you go by and you look at the table. And God bless you, ladies. I mean, you have a sense of ambiance. You know what I mean? You know how to put this thing together. You got this plate with the plate underneath the plate. You know, the plate you never use, that one there. And then the plate on top of the plate, and then a little plate. And then there's two forks, and you realize you got two nostrils. You also got two hands. That's why you got two forks. And they got the silverware that only the relatives ever get to see. Nobody else gets to see it. You only get to see it at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Then it gets put away, and you never get to see it again. And you got a fork and a spoon and a knife, and you got all the stuff that you really don't care, because when you get into it, you're going to start using your fingers anyway. And you got the plate out there, and you got the stuff, and you got a little saucer for the bread, and you got a cup, and you got a cup, and it's decorated and everything else, and then it's cooking time. And then they get ready to go, and they start bringing the food out and putting it on the table. And there's green beans with bacon in it on there, and then there's corn, and then Lord, let me keep it in English. And then they got that green bean stuff with the onion soup on top of it and the sprinkle junk on top of that, the onion thing on that works too. It's all about 7-8 different kinds of vegetables. They bring out the turkey, and they got the little white Nike booties on his little end of his little legs like that, stuffing hanging out of him. Put that on the table. Put the ham on the table. Everyone gets together, and we have the great Thanksgiving song, "We Shall Overcome, We Shall Overcome." And then we pray. Now, if you're called on to pray at Thanksgiving, don't waste time. Now, you want to do some serious praying, you get up in the morning and do your praying. Get up in the morning while you smell the food. Don't be one of them fools that gets up there when everybody prays. You know, oh, thou God of God of God of God and God of gods of gods, and bless Jobab and Bebab and Rebab and Jehoshaphat and all the fed people. And then you start praying for all the missionaries in China and everybody in China by first name. And they go around and go, guys, and you got your head down like this, and you're praying because you want to be thankful. But the aroma of the food is just coming up. You're slobbering into your plate. And this guy's over here praying because he hadn't prayed since last year. He's praying for all the people in the family and the household and the dogs, and you don't have cats. And you got all this stuff going on, and you're thinking, man, God, just kill this fool so we can get to lunch. And I'm thankful. Listen, here is the Thanksgiving prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this food. Amen. Now that's a Thanksgiving prayer. It's genuine, it's sincere, and it's real. And everyone will love you for it. They'll keep passing food by your way. So then the prayer's over, you sit down, and then you look down, and all of a sudden it dawns on you. The turkey has the best plate. He's got a platter that stinking big for a dead bird you're going to eat. And what do they give you? Little stinking plate like that. I think, give the bird that little plate. He doesn't care. He's dead. Give me that plate, that great big plate that's got a well to it to hold the gravy and everything else. Give them a nice plate. Don't give me the little stinking plates that don't hold hardly enough food. Well, you can go back for seconds. Who cares about seconds? I'm up to sixth by the time 10 minutes into the meal. But don't give me one of those stupid plates. And then you get the food and you get the meat on there and the ham and the mashed potatoes. You make a little reservoir on one side like that. Put the gravy. That's a southern thing, by the way. You need to learn how to do that. Otherwise, the gravy rolls over and gets into that jello stuff and everything else, messes everything up. See, and you get your stuffing. I throw the stuffing in the gravy side of the well. Of the mashed potatoes, and you get the cranberry juice shaped like a can. You throw a little shot of it over here like this. You get your vegetables on that. You get your fork. You stab it like that. Get that bread going. Get that turkey. Run it down through the gravy, down through that stuffing. On past the sweet potatoes. Whoop, get a chew. Put it in your mouth. And then all of a sudden, whether you got store-bought or God-given teeth, doesn't make any difference. You start chewing on that. And when it gets to those taste buds, ladies and gentlemen, all of a sudden your mouth gets Pentecostal. I mean to tell you what, they start having a running hallelujah slobbering fit. You're so thankful you got taste buds. And the ones in the front are shouting to the ones in the back, thank you, Jesus! And you're getting, ooh, and then all those flavors, they come together like that. And you take your bite and you get that warm roll over there with a half a stick of butter now coming out of the side. And you got a bite of bread and a bite of gravy and a bite of bread and a bite of this. And you got a Diet Coke right over there. And that Diet Coke just sort of balances everything out of what you're about to do to yourself. Now, you eat until you can no longer reach the table. You're just, all of a sudden, your arms don't reach the table anymore, and then you look down and see why. And you say, isn't that gluttony, Pastor Johnson? No, gluttony is overeating by accident. When you overeat on purpose, that's whatsoever thy hand find, put it in thy mouth. That's what the Bible says. And so you know you're done, either when you can't reach the table anymore or when you can't see anybody across the table from you. There's a haze just kind of comes over you, and you really can't see any longer. And so you get up, and then you go to the front room, and you just kind of walk toward the front room like that. And you can't breathe real deep. I mean, you ate so much, your stomach's pushing up into your lungs. So you go to the front room to sit down and watch football. Ugh. And then you realize what that's for. Now, you skinny people, get rid of it. Diets are over from now until New Year's. You realize what this is for. This, you can put the TV control on this side right here. Another roll over here on this side. And then you can just push the button and take the roll and eat it like that. You don't even need a TV tray. You got your own. You just carry it with you wherever that you go. And while you're sitting there trying to breathe, someone says, dessert! Oh, yeah, here we go, dessert! Oh, yeah! And you get up, and by that time, they've cleaned the table up, and they brought out all the desserts of Thanksgiving. Pumpkin pie, apple pie, Dutch apple pie, cherry pie, mincemeat pie. There's cheesecake. There's all kinds of items over there. And then they bring out the ice cream, those little square half-gallon things of ice cream. And that's when you get that mousy plate to try to make you eat lunch off of. Now, that's a dessert plate. And you take a piece of pumpkin pie and pecan pie and apple pie and Dutch apple pie and cherry pie and cheesecake. So you're supposed to put all those together? Absolutely, it's of God. And you put it all on the plate like that. And then you take the ice cream. Instead of scooping it out of that half a gallon plastic thing, you just unfold it and go, and throw it right on top of there. One whole half gallon. Then you take it back into the front room and you sit down, and now you got something to hold your dessert plate on, and you put it right there and you sit there and you can't see football or nothing. You can't even see across the room. Can't hear anything because your ears are ringing, and you're eating and going, See, Pastor Johnson, isn't that bad? No, that's good, friend. That is Thanksgiving, the way Thanksgiving is supposed to be. And after you're done eating, someone comes and removes the plate, and you just sort of sit there. You ever notice the conversations are really bad at Thanksgiving? Huh? Those chatty people, they had a celery stick and drank some water. The rest of us, he can't even really hold an intelligent conversation. About 2 hours ago, somebody says, sandwiches! Yeah, sandwiches! All right, here we go. You go back in there and they bring that turkey and ham back out there and some loaves of white, cheap bread. Forget that 9-grain, you know, mushu organic stuff made with horse manure. You don't want that stuff. You want cheap white bread. And they bring out mayonnaise and cheap white bread. And some of that cranberry sauce that's left over for shaped like a can. And you take some mayonnaise on there and you lay some of that cranberry sauce on the top of there, a lot of salt and pepper, some turkey or some ham. Put it gently on top so you don't bruise that turkey. Cut it in half. Get you a handful of Fritos and a glass of milk. And you go right back to the front room again and sit down and have yourself a sandwich. And about 11 o'clock at night, someone says, pizza! And you call and order pizza. Yes. Now, Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks. It is a time to enjoy yourself. Let me say this morning. I want you to listen to me. You enjoy the time you have with your family this Thanksgiving. And let's as best as we can, let's bear the axe and let's try to get along with each other. Somebody's spot is going to be empty at the table next year. Almost a guarantee these days. Someone may be moved away, may not be able to come this time. Someone may go to heaven on you. You want to enjoy this Thanksgiving together. And you want to take some time to realize that, as Brother Evan said this morning, Thanksgiving shouldn't be a day. It ought to be a lifestyle for us. 365 days out of the year. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you realize in the Bible that in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, it lists for us that list of how an individual or a nation begins a downward slide into a debauched lifestyle, that it starts up here. One of the first things that happens to an individual or a nation who begins a downward slide in their life is this simple statement: neither were they thankful. And it ends up with people who are debauched in their life. Do you realize how important Thanksgiving is? A giving thanks kind of people. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, one of the indications of being a spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian is giving thanks always for all things. It's one of the three indicators the Holy Spirit controls your life. So it's an indicator of my spirituality. It's an indicator of my direction, where I'm going in life. You lose your thankfulness, friends, you're in trouble. We as a nation, America today, it is a disgrace what we have done with a National Day of Thanksgiving. We will not be able as a nation have our leaders stand up and say thanks to God. They'll have to say something about some reference to deity or somebody so they don't offend certain groups. And I'm not saying our purpose should be to offend people, but America wasn't founded by Allah. And America wasn't founded by the Hindu gods. And America wasn't founded by Confucius. And America wasn't founded by Muhammad. America was founded by the God of the Bible. And it is right to say thanks for giving us the country that we have. We've lost our minds. No wonder this nation struggles as she struggles. We are on a downward slide because we are not thankful as a nation. But you and I can fix that in our own hearts and our own lives, yes? And learn the principle of in everything. Now the statement is powerful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything means while it happens. While it happens, give thanks. So Pastor Johnson, I could see that when I got a job, but I couldn't see it when I lost mine. It doesn't say in everything that's good. It says in everything. Well, Pastor Johnson, man, I could see that. Boy, I woke up this morning. I felt good. I've got good health and strength in my body. I could understand being thankful. But see, preacher, I've got news from the doctors, and it's not good. In everything, give thanks. It means in means while it takes place. Test of your character. Test of your Christianity. See, yeah, that's the way you people in church are. You know, you always say, be thankful for everything that happens to you in your life. Well, I'm sorry, but that's true. Again, it says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for everything, in anything. You've got to be kidding me. Yesterday, our brother Miller went to heaven. Does this family rejoice in the fact that they lost one of their loved ones? They rejoice in heaven. They rejoice that this dear brother has stepped to the other side. And after years of problems with his lungs and his health, now this man is in a straight, strong, and healthy body. The old settlers remember his wife, Mary. When she went to heaven, she was in a wheelchair. I guarantee she's the first person who met him when he got to the other side. And she wasn't in a wheelchair in heaven because they don't need those in heaven. See, everybody's healthy in heaven. Everybody's strong and straight. So could something like someone dying of one of our loved ones, someone like that dying and going from this life to the next, could we actually be thankful for that? In everything, give thanks while it's happening. While the good news is good and while the bad news is bad. While times are difficult and when they're good. By the way, for a lot of people today, I'm afraid they have forgotten to give thanks for anything. Even when something's good, people sometimes forget that. Oh, no, then all of a sudden now they're lucky. Boy, was I lucky. No, friend, you were blessed. In everything, give thanks. It means while it's taking place. That's right. When you're standing there and the storm is raging and the midnight is dark and the trouble is great and the valley is deep and the news is not good and the obstacles are great and it seems like there's no hope on the horizon for what you can see, at that moment, learn to stop and look up to your God and realize in everything, I'm to be thankful, dear God. While it happens. Now, come on, folks, look at me. You have been in faith for very long. You know good and well, even the difficult times taught us things we would not have learned in any other time in our life. Even the troubles that came to our life may not seem to be pleasant at the time, but later on the Bible said they yielded a peaceable fruit of righteousness. There are things that come to our life. See, so we don't have to see how it's going to turn out. We just have to acknowledge that in the moment, in everything, while it's happening, right then, that second, we give thanks. Don't you know those irritating Christian people? You're with them. You're driving down the highway. The tire blows out. It's raining. The wind is blowing the rain horizontally. The animals are pairing up. It's raining so hard. And you blow a tire. And you're driving the car. And it's your car. And what do they say? Your dear, irritating Christian friend sitting next to you. In everything, give thanks. And I always say, well, then in everything, get out and change the tire. And you could be double blessed this morning, my dear friend. And then all of a sudden they get just like you and about that quick. You know, the truth of the matter is we must learn that in everything means while it's happening to us in our life. Because there is no happenstance. There is no uh-oh. God never looks down from heaven and says, what in the world? How did they get over into that mess over there? How did that happen to them in their life? You know how many times I've sat with people in doctor's offices or after they've come back from doctor's office and they said, this is what the doctor has said. And it was a shock to them. They were totally unprepared for the report or the news that they received because they didn't anticipate a problem. And I said, well, you know, this is something God knew about. God knows. But it's always funny how that looks different when you're the one who gets the news. It's different, isn't it? We know all the cutesy pie statements to make when someone else is going through their crucible. And they're in the crucible of suffering. And they're going through the fires of trial and testing. We know all the little cute statements to make and all the things to say. That's why you'd be very careful about what you say to folks when it's their time for trouble. But when it comes to us, all of a sudden we think God died. Nothing's good. What in the world's going on? This is just... No. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks means while it happens. In everything, give thanks also means this. It means why it happens. Why? There are two reasons why things happen to you in your life and to me in mine. Number one, God allowed it. Number two, I caused it. God allowed it, or I caused it. Two reasons. Everything that comes to your life and touches your life and everything that comes and touches my life comes for those two reasons. God allowed it to happen, or I've caused it because of a decision or a choice I have made. Now, it is very important to know how to determine and distinguish between the two. I've often told you before, do not think that you're Jonah when you're Job. And do not think you're Job when you're Jonah. Job was tested by God. All that came to him came by God's hand. Jonah was swallowed by a whale because he wouldn't do what God told him to do. He caused his trouble. Determining and distinguishing the two is very important, and it's very easy to find out. Ask him. He'll let you know. But in everything, give thanks. I'm supposed to thank God for why this came into my life. That's right. I'm supposed to be able to look up to the God of heaven and realize. See the statement in verse 18. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look, not only is giving thanks God's will, but what came to your life and why was a part of the will of God. Yeah, that's great. So something happens to me and I get to blame God for it. I didn't say blame him. I said thank him for the fact that he allowed this to come into your life. We have a whole generation of young people today. Not all of them, by the way. But a whole generation of young people. And my generation and younger too, by the way. And yeah, that's right. I'm a young people. So just figure it out. And all of them, the whole generation who did not have to come through a lot of the adversities our older generation has come through. And they lacked a toughness about them. They're the whining generation. Something happened and nee, 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 nee. Don't you just want to tell them to shut up? Just shut up. Buckle down. So you got to take a job that makes less money. Take a job. Just do what you got to do. Roll up your shirt sleeves and go figure it out and quit sitting around talking about, I'm codependent. I'm all relying on people. I'm not going to do it myself. Oh, man, just shut up. Figure it out. God will help you. What's your problem? But the reason the older generation doesn't spend all their time whining is because they had to come through a bunch of stuff to get to where they were. And thereby, they have learned that when God brings things to your life, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. God will, he determined this for my life. Whether I like it or not, whether I accept it or not, whether I want it or not. But by the way, you'll never be right in this life and with what comes to you and why until you learn that great step of acceptance. This is the will of God. No finger pointing at the Almighty God of heaven. No fist shaking, no anger, no bitterness, no resentment. But yes, sometimes it's the will of God that he takes that one who's so close to us. Sometimes it's God's, well, why does he want to hurt me like that, Pastor? He doesn't. Do you understand? It's not, God never does something to you. He's always trying to do something for you in your life. And if we could ever get to that thing of in everything give thanks, and determine, is this the will of God? If it is, then I have to come to a place of acceptance. And I'm not talking about resignation. I'm talking about accepting the will of God. It's God's will. It's God's will. I'm going to have to ask for groceries, for help, for my family, for this Thanksgiving. I've never had to do that in my life. I'm not talking about mean. I mean illustration. I mean, it's God's will. I've had to do that before. I've had people come by in the early days of this church when we started this church. This church was started from scratch. We're not denominational Baptists. We're not part of any denominational body or group. Those are unscriptural. It's against the Bible. We came here as an independent Baptist church, started out of another independent Baptist church. No support, nothing. Just trusting God by faith to take care of us. Those first few years were a little tight. Family of five, then the family of six. There were days I got on my knees and I begged God, please, God, don't let my family go hungry, please. You starve me all you want to, but not my family. Please, God, please take care of my family. Help us. Now, there was Thanksgivings and Christmases where there was boxes of food sitting on our front porch. That's not pleasant to not know where your next nickel is going to come from, and you have no paycheck. We went a couple years like that in this church. So that's how it was. So what you do to start a church. And there were times when we had to tell our children, well, we're not going to be able to do that right now. We just did not have the money. Didn't blame God for it. Don't believe our kids got bitter about it. Just couldn't do it. And we made trips to cemeteries we wish you didn't have to make. And we said goodbye to loved ones wish we didn't have to say goodbye to. And we've had valleys just like you have valleys. By the grace of God, most of them were a part of his plan. In everything means why it happened. Give thanks for that. Oh, but wait a minute. When you cause it, your actions, cause the problems or difficulty or the situation that come in your life, give thanks for that too. So I do something stupid, I get in trouble with God, I'm supposed to be thankful. Yeah, you know what it means? It means you're a Christian. It means you're a child of God. Read Hebrews chapter 12 sometime. God spanks his kids when they don't do right. Zach, can that be good? Did you ever thank your parents for spanking you? Did you ever turn around your mom and say, Mom, just before you whoop me, I just want to tell you, thank you. And after it was over, hug your mother's neck and say, Mom, you made me a better person today. You ever did that? Huh? You had one of those patriotic dads, he laid the stripes and you saw the stars, you know what I'm talking about? Did you ever turn around and say, boy, thanks, Dad, for whooping the tar out of me? Isn't that amazing how later on we learned about that? I tell you, when you really learn the principle of how important corporal correction is for your children is when you had to spank your first one. Then you got the principle of it. Look at me. And that principle is a biblical principle, by the way. Handle right, done right is a biblical thing. But did it seem like a good thing at the time? No. No, not pleasant, not good, and not enjoyable. But yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness if I got right about it. Look here. See, look here. When I cause something in my life and there are consequences to what I do, and there always are, it teaches me I'm a child of God. So I wouldn't want to be a Christian just on that principle alone. No, you can just go on with your life and do what you want and die and wind up in hell. I'd rather be spanked by my God in this life and go to heaven when it's over. Go through this life, get my way, and wind up in hell forever. Jesus is the difference, friend. Salvation is the answer. Look at me. See, if I cause something in my life by my actions, I need to stop and thank God for why it happened. Well, at least I know I'm a Christian. I know that one for sure. And also, I know the Bible's true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I just saw a sowing reaping principle take effect in my life. That's true in the Bible. That happened to me. Thank God he's still working on my life. Hey, he hasn't given up on me yet. Look, if God's correcting you because of a choice you made that was not right, that's a good thing. It's not bad. It's not pleasant, but it's good because it means I belong to him. It means he's still working on me. Oh, I don't want to get shelved. I don't want to get put off to the side where God doesn't do anything in my life any longer. I don't want to be like that. The Apostle Paul had expression in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about being a castaway. He said, I fear lest when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. It's an athletic term. It means someone who trains for an athletic contest, comes to the games, violates a rule, and is eliminated and cannot run the race. Able, capable, but eliminate themselves because of choices they made. Paul said, I fear that. That man could stand in front of a howling mob of thousands, stand in front of Nero, the emperor, and defend his faith, but he feared being put on the shelf and God not working in his life anymore. Hey, in everything, give thanks. If I made some bad choices and I caught it for it, guess what that means? He's still working on me. Yeah, I can even find reason to give thanks then. In everything, give thanks. Also mean I learned to thank God while it's happening, why it's happened. And I need to learn to thank God, obviously, for what has happened to me in my life. If I can learn to thank God in that way, no matter what it is, good, bad, or better, sweet, bitter, trouble, blessing. Look here, if I can thank God in those circumstances, in everything, you know what I have? I have what you call biblical faith. It means I haven't lost sight of my God. It means I know, all right, this is not, I certainly didn't want this. You ever pray like a financial thing in your life? Pray, Lord, I need a few extra bucks here or there in my life, and something breaks and you have to pay to fix it? Huh? Maybe that's never happened to you. It's happened to me. Lord, a little short on this time. Some things came up. Could you please help me out? And then something breaks and you go, that's not what I meant when I said help. I didn't mean help take more money. I mean help put some in there would be nice. In everything, give thanks. I thank him for what happens to me in my life, whatever it is. See, it proves my faith. It also proves my submission. Since it's the will of God and it's God's plan for my life, it proves my submission to that plan. See, we've got way too many people that got their little G-God thing going in their life. Truth is, they're their own God. And if God doesn't do something just the way they think, just the way they think it should be, and doesn't give it to them when they want it, how they want it, then they chuck God over their shoulder, and they're out of here. There's a plague in America today among young people growing up in churches who grow up in good churches, and then when they get to their so-called adult years, they're out. And they're finding out that those young people checked out while they were in church. They heard it, they listened to it, but they didn't receive it for themselves. And they checked out on their own. They decided while they sit in the chairs and the pews, when I get to my age, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm walking off. You say, boy, I wonder what we need to do in our churches, Pastor Johnson. Well, many of them just need to get back to teaching and preaching the Bible. Let it rise or fall on the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is what God blesses. Let's just stay with the Word of God. We don't have to get involved in programs and stuff to try and soothe everybody's conscience. But the problem isn't what's coming from the pulpit when the Bible is preached. The problem is sitting in the pew and not thanking God and submitting to what He has brought in my life. And so they use that excuse. Well, my mom died, and after that, I want nothing to do with God. Oh, I understand. I understand. It's foolish, but I understand. So God has to make your life sunshine and smooth seas and everything you ever wanted, then He's a good God. Everything else is not a good God for you. And that's how you are to Him, of course. You're always good and always do what you should and always obey like you're supposed to. And He doesn't have to put up with anything from you. Or me. And everything give thanks. That means I thank God for what happens. That's my submission. It's called I bow my knee and say, Heavenly Father, this one I don't understand. But if this is yours, this is what you want me to have, I accept it. And God, thank you that you're still working on me. In everything give thanks. It proves my faith. It proves my submission. It proves my sincere gratitude. Don't you love doing things for people and they don't express appreciation for it whatsoever in any way? Really. Come on, this is holiday season. Open the door for somebody at a business or a restaurant or something like that. Open the door so they can come in or go out. Gentlemen always hold the door for a lady, for a child, or for a person who's older than them. That's why whenever Brother Evans and I go out together, I always hold the door open for Brother Evans. It's very important. I want to show respect to my elders. That's right. I'll always finish it. But you, how many times have you done that? Held the door in person. They just walk right past you. Don't you want to just slam it on their foot when they're going by? I mean, just for a second. No way. Stand in line. You got a basket full of goods, and they've got two items. And you go, why don't you go ahead of me? Oh, okay. Go up, check out, walk out of the store. Never say a word. Grateful people. Mm-hmm. And so in everything, I go to my God and I say, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Do you thank God for getting out of bed this morning just to be able to stand up and have strength and health in your life, your body? Did you thank God that you went over the closet, you could pick out what you wanted to wear? Did you thank God that you had your choice between which sugary cereal that'll rust your pipes you got to eat this morning? Did you thank God you had a roof over your head and it was warm in your house? Did you thank God you got in a car and you put a key in it and it turned on and it started? If it's a Ford, it's a miracle. Did you thank God you drove to church this morning? Did you thank God you had a church to go to? There are no tanks driving up and down our streets. Our children are playing in bomb craters. Did you thank God for those things just this morning? It does shows our sincere gratitude when we thank God for what happens in our life. And it may not be anything big and it may not be anything important. But this is it, ladies and gentlemen. Gratitude that all things come to my life and it's a part of the plan of God. It's a part of God's working in my life. All of it. Even if I make bad choices, it's still His plan that I receive the consequences. Hey, friend. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'll tell you what it'll do in your life. It'll keep you right in whatever circumstance or situation you face. And it'll keep the channel clear between you and the Heavenly Father of heaven. And you need that in your life, and so do I. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.